It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Harris Faulkner.
I'm Greg Gutfeld.
I'm Janice Dean, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Friday, April 1st, 2022. I'm Eben Brown. An American warrior goes to Ukraine to help evacuate trapped Americans and stays for a lot more.
It's very interesting how quickly the mission sort of manifested into let's get a couple hundred Americans out as fast as possible to now supporting the efforts all across the country.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Imagine you've served your country in special forces. You have skills, talent, and experience very few others in the world have. And now you decide to help rescue fellow Americans trapped inside a war zone in a country with your home nation sympathizes but isn't actively defending. And then you're asked by that country to help even more.
My mission when I first came out here has drastically increased in many different ways I kind of imagined.
Brett Velikovich is a retired U.S. Army Special Operator, Delta Force. He served in Afghanistan and Iraq. And he specializes in the use of drones for military reconnaissance and search and rescue. He's also a Fox News contributor, and he spoke with us from outside Ukraine's capital of Kyiv.
So I first came out here to help a friend who was supporting extractions of Americans to get them out of the country and get them back home in areas that they were being trapped in once the war began. And so literally like the first day I came across the border, I went straight to the capital of Kyiv. I had about a group of 100 Americans that were sitting there waiting for us to pick them up. We hopped into Sprinter vans that we had hired from a local tour company. And then we proceeded to basically escort them through about 30, 40 different checkpoints south through Romania, and then got them across the border and sent them back to Bucharest. So we did that run a bunch of different times. And what's so interesting about Ukraine is how quickly, some groups sort of came in here to help in many different ways, everything from doing the extractions to supporting with medical aid to now our mission here has changed because the government within Ukraine has realized we've been doing such a good job. They want us to help extract orphans. And right now there's over 10,000 orphans who are unaccounted for across the country. And many of them have been displaced since the war began, and folks have lost track of them. And so the government has asked us basically to go and find a lot of these orphans, figure out where they are, extract them from some of these difficult areas like Mariupol or Kharkiv or Kherson or Chernihiv or Kyiv, and then bring them back to a Ukrainian government facility closer to the border, an area that's more safe and secure where they can sort of watch over them and take care of them. And then on top of that, we found that we've become pretty nimble and good at not only getting people out of the country, but also getting medical supplies in. So I've been, literally doing runs where I hire a truck, drive across into Poland, pick up supplies from these warehouses that have everything from medical kits to food to just about anything you can think of supporting the war, and then bring them back in Ukraine and then distribute them across the country. So it's very interesting how quickly the mission sort of manifested into let's get a couple hundred Americans out as fast as possible to now supporting the efforts all across the country with medical aid and things like that.
How much luck have you had with rescuing orphans? I think everyone's heart will kind of tinge on that a bit.
Yeah. So the orphan thing has been basically come up within the last few days. So we had to sign an agreement with the Ukrainian government because it's a big issue right now. There's human trafficking concerns going on. And right now, there are people that are taking advantage of this war. And many of the refugees are women and children, right? The men are fighting. They have to fight. And so a lot of the people coming across the border are women and children that don't really have the help they need. And so this really major issue of human trafficking is coming up. And so that sort of falls under this whole issue with the orphans, where they don't have the care that they need. And so it's become a more of a recent issue that's popped up. So we're about to conduct our first mission within the next 48 hours, where we've got a group of 13 children that we've been tasked with finding. We just signed the agreement. So we've had 100% success rate with everything else before. We haven't gotten hurt or any of our guys hurt in the field, even though a few have taken rounds going into some of these harder to reach areas. But we're hoping to continue that success rate now as we start to focus our extraction efforts on these orphans.
I'd have to think that you're not just simply driving a Sprinter van in and out of these places. You have your means of protecting yourself, your crews, without obviously divulging secrets or things that could make you vulnerable. How exactly do you do this? Because it's not like just simply driving down the interstate.
Well, you know, you'd be surprised. There are each location that we go to, there's a different plan, right? I mean, we're a bunch of special operations guys. So we've got ex-Navy SEALs in here. We've got ex-Green Beret 18 series dudes. We've got about 25 people primarily with special operations experience and medical experience. And so we're very good at kind of figuring it out and moving fast. And each town has a different situation, right? Getting into Mariupol is and extracting people where what almost 90% of the buildings have been damaged and 40% completely destroyed. You've got over 200 children who have been killed. There are 5,000 civilians since the war began. The city is just getting crushed daily. Going into a location like that is drastically different than going into a location like Kyiv, for instance. Kyiv, we can drive Sprinter vans in there with different equipment and kit and get them out fairly safely. With Mariupol, it becomes this sort of a masterclass, honestly, in organizations working together. For instance, there may be a church group that has the ability to move through Russian lines versus us going in there and shooting our way through, which we would never want to do to get our guys injured. Where, you know, the church group can go in safely. They have relationships on both sides of the battlefield and they can get people out in small batches versus if you go into Kyiv, yeah, we can go in there with a little bit more bulk and things like that and get out. And we know the checkpoints and we have authorization from the government to get around checkpoints and things like that. But each mission is planned differently. And each situation is different. You know, there's a lot of checkpoints and around the country, and each checkpoint is either manned by, you know, Ukrainian military, or they've got these territorial defense guys, or they've literally got guys that are like neighborhood watch folks with RPGs that can get a little trigger happy if you do the wrong thing. So for us, it's a lot of de-escalation. It's a lot of looking as nonviolent as possible. Operating within the confines of the law and letting people know that, we're here to help the country, which gives us additional access to be able to move people out. So it goes back again to the fact that there's no singular way of doing this. And it's just been so interesting to kind of take our special operations experience from years at war in Iraq and Afghanistan and apply it to this problem. So.
You've been listening to Brett Velikovich. He's a Fox News contributor, as well as a retired U.S. special operator, former Delta Force in the United States Army. He's now operating inside Ukraine, conducting rescues and supply missions. On the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine, we'll have more with Brett straight ahead. Brett, you're a former special operator from the United States, and it is, I think, hands down, the United States does not is second to none in that type of warfare. How would you rate Ukraine's defense capabilities and how they have maintained those capabilities these past weeks? What is your assessment as to how this is going for them, and what would you further advise them on if given that opportunity?
Yeah. So Zelensky, I mean, wow, this guy, he's just a hero here. You watch local TV and you just become so impressed by him. Here's a guy that before the war, they thought he was a joke. You know, he's a comedian, he's an actor, and he's become just this icon of strength. And it comes down from the top the top level and trickles down to where Ukrainians have been so strong in all this. And Zelensky's got to be in a position of strength right now. When he goes to the negotiation table with the Russians, he's got to be thinking, here he was a week into the war and wondering if he was going to survive the night, because all the assessments are saying the Russians would reach Kyiv and surround Kyiv within 3 days of crossing that border. And none of that happened. And I think that has to do with the will of the Ukrainian people. Right now, Russian troops are dying 10 to 1 to Ukrainian soldiers. Russia has lost, I saw the numbers today, almost 17,000 of their troops have been killed. 100 planes have been destroyed, over 500 tanks. You've got, within the last 48 hours, another lieutenant general within Russia was just killed. That makes 7, by my count, Russian generals. Tactically, the Ukrainians are winning. They are winning tactically at the ground level, and that is giving them just this boost in morale because people discounted them. And that's a wonderful thing. I think the other thing we've also seen is, I was talking about this the other day, you know, when I went through intelligence school, they taught us to fear the Russians. They taught us that the Russians were this, what they called near peer adversaries of the US government. And they've shown not to be that at all. They've shown their hands. Tactically, they are not proficient. They're just are getting obliterated on the ground level. From the air, they are mildly efficient. And one of the reasons for that is just because they've just got so much firepower to release. But at the same time, from what I've seen from, you know, the artillery strikes and what they're targeting, they're war criminals without a doubt. I mean, some of these people we've extracted here, these are people just like you and I. I mean, they're you go home and look to your left and your right, your neighbors, like these people don't know war. And one day they're sitting in a supermarket and having fun and going out to the restaurants. And the next day those supermarkets are just gone. And so I've seen these people, I've talked to them, I've seen their videos and all these things. And it's because, for instance, one of the women that we got out, she was living sort of in the wooded area of this area called Kharkiv, right? And she didn't think much of it. She said, look, you know, the Russians are going to probably come through the main city. They're going to, you know, beat up the city a bit, but they'll never come out to the outskirts in these wooded areas where all these homes are. They wouldn't do that. It's not necessary. Well, then all of a sudden the artillery started raining down in this area, and her neighbor's house got destroyed. And it goes to show how the Russians target, and it's indiscriminate attacks on civilians. It's a way of warfare that is meant to demoralize the populace and to basically, you know, trying to give up and demoralize them. And it's just an odd way of seeing it. When I come from a world that's very surgical in the way we strike, there's a lot of intelligence that goes into how we target. We're not sitting there indiscriminately blowing up schools and hospitals. And you can look at all the numbers and see all the civilian infrastructure and hospitals that have been destroyed. There's without a doubt war crimes taking place in here, evidence of this left and right. And I hope history is not nice to Putin and the Russian soldiers that were a part of this.
Have you been training them with drones? We've heard that the drone shipment that the U.S. promised hasn't necessarily gotten there. Is that true, or what is your take on this?
It is highly accurate that these Switchblade drones, I just confirmed through multiple sources because I wanted to make sure I got my story right if I was going to actually announce that. And these Switchblade drones that are supposed to change the course of the war that Biden announced a couple weeks ago that have these warheads on them, they have not arrived in the country. My understanding is they're getting ready to head into Poland, which they'll probably stay there for weeks at a time. And, you know, eventually they'll get in. But the fact that they're not here, I think, is just out of this world to me, because I have my own personal drones and people that have been donating, great American donors back home that see the need to get the technology out to the front lines. You've got Ukrainian soldiers on the front lines using the same type of drones you can buy off Amazon. And they're using them to spot and do recon on their artillery strikes. And it's just so odd to me that with all the resources of the U.S. government, that organizations like mine are the ones that are getting the most drones to Ukrainians on the front line. It makes zero sense to me. So I really hope that the administration is somebody behind there is trying to fix that. I know there's good people in the government. I just hate to see and it's not just drones, it's medical aid as well. I hate to see the stuff stuck across the border because somebody's too incompetent to get it across. I mean, this isn't a rocket science. We are able to move stuff across legally and quickly and in ways that can get them to the front lines very quickly. And I don't have any patience to hear that the Ukrainians are not getting the support they were promised. And I think the U.S. administration owes an explanation to the Defense Department here on why this aid isn't in their hands yet. And so I really hope that somebody's trying to fix that behind the scenes.
Brett Velikovich, former U.S. special operator now in Ukraine. Thank you so much for being with us on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.